Thank you, Ryan, and thank you. So let's do a quick little roll call. Laura Galina de Lovato.
Here.
Awesome. Christian Bryant.
Oh, I am unmuted. Look at that. Didn't even need to scramble for it. I'm here.
Awesome.
My Wi-Fi where I'm at is a little spotty, so I'll probably keep my video off. I am here.
No worries. Thanks for being here. And Ian Davey is not here at this area.
He just popped in.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Justin.
We're just doing a roll call. So, Ian Davey, present.
Present.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for joining today. Perfect. So, we're just going to do a few updates here. And then we have Antoinette, who graciously agreed to go ahead and present on the rental rehabilitation program that can help guide the recommendations that, excuse me, the RSC wants to make regarding program, excuse me, program implementation. And so let's just go ahead and dive right in. First thing I want to spend a little bit of time on, well, just a brief second on, is the BPS slash BDS request. We have yet to hear back from them regarding the request for RSC feedback. We reached out requesting, exactly what they were looking for, what how complete was the package they were going to send us, some of that crucial information for the RSC commissioners. We have yet to hear back, so we're kind of in a waiting pattern for that one. So, when I hear something, I'll let you all know. But just wanted to go ahead and flag that. And then just wanted to do a quick little update that, T has left the Housing Bureau. Not too far. I think she's down at, I think, BDS on like the fifth floor. So we still see her. And I wanted to, go ahead and take some time to thank Ryan for being here today and doing the admin support. So thank you, Ryan. Just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, no problem.
And then be on the lookout by the end of the week for our follow-up from our listening session. My apologies for not having this ready for today. I've been a little swamped and under the weather today. I had planned to complete it all today. But before the end of the week, just look out for a robust email from me with, follow-up regarding, some data metrics around who presented. I plan to have a transcript available too, with the availability of, learning themes that we saw from the event, as well as landlord and such tenant representation. I will also be sending out a transcript of all the written testimony we received, which I will be reading starting the next at the next RSC full body meeting in July. So be on the lookout for that as well. But apologies for not having re ready for this meeting, and we'll see you very soon. Any questions on any of that? Perfect.
No questions from me.
Thank you,
Nope.
Laura. And I did leave some space in the RSC proposed agenda for July that includes the listening session follow-up. So we'll make sure to have a discussion at that time with the full body once all the data is disseminated. But without further ado, Antoinette, do you want to take it away for us?
Yeah, thank you, Justin. I'll go ahead and Ryan or Justin, if you want to share screen with me or just pop up the presentation. I know, Justin, you've got it.
Antoinette, I just made you co-host, so you should be able to share screen.
Great. Oh, yeah. Great. All right, and let's see if I put this into. Does this work? It's not in. Not it. Are you able to see this already? I haven't put it into slideshow. Good. Okay. And this is a small group, so I feel like I can be less formal about it. And please go ahead and just ask questions. This is a 2017 report. This is a report that was put together in 2018, and it's just offers an overview and some staff reflections on the 2017 rental rehab program piloted by the Portland Housing Bureau. I don't know, Laura or Ian, Christian, were any of you around at that time?
May have been. I think that's around when we started on the RSC, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. And so you'll see in Northwest Pilot Project was one of the partners on this program as well, too. So the City of Portland Bureau of Housing, we engage in Habit to implement, let me move this here, and evolve a city developed program offering private owners of multifamily properties, primarily in East Portland. So we had grants up to $25,000 per unit for repair and rehabilitation of privately owned apartment units where there were livability issues. We did have an income qualification and a 10-year, as required by Title 30, a 10-year agreement that rents could not increase for within any of the properties where the landlord had taken advantage of this program. So for the stakeholder engagement, this is why I was asking. We did work with 25 different stakeholder organizations.
And yes, Antoinette, I remember this.
Do you remember this? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been Bobby Weinstock who was the one who was our representative on this. But yes, I remember. Thank you.
Yeah, this was where we had roughly, it was $500,000 to pilot a rental rehab program. And the focus was primarily East Portland. But yeah, so we did work with Home Forward and a number of other community partners. So our first step was working within Habit. They developed a communications plan and did reach out to owners and property managers in the area. So there was a dedicated website. It's no longer up. And then we did send mailing to all properties that had open violation letters from the city. We did telephone outreach to all properties subject to Title 29 violations with the city. And then we also sent a mailing to all Class 1 and 2 properties in our CoStar real estate database. We engaged with the Multnomah County weatherization team and collaborated with different partners. And then we sent a mailing to the Multifamily Northwest membership and then participated in the Spectrum Multifamily Northwest event. So the results out of a total of 92 properties that were identified as candidates, we did, as a result of outreach, hear from 17 property owners. Of those, just one owner of a small property indicated interest in order, sufficient interest in order to like advance to qualification. And then several interested owners discontinued communication without a clear signal of interest or disinterest. So again, like this is, you know, this is several years ago. And so these are the conclusions at the time, you know, and again, this is just based on what we, you know, the 92 properties, the 17 that, you know, expressed interest, the one property that actually qualified. You know, the staff's perspective was that the rent restraints in our program requirements just didn't make this a very appealing program for owners of private property. go back to that. Very few properties that were identified actually had significant habitation related repair needs, and most property owners believe that they normally address these issues and were more interested in cosmetic upgrades. And then our 10-year horizon, this was the 10 years of affordability that we were required by the grant. It was considered too long for most property owners. And then the most property owners believe that the city and county reporting requirements were too onerous, and they just weren't enthusiastic about long-term obligations and contracts. So our, the staff included basically a rating of our efficacy by outreach mode. Mail was considered fair. Telephone solicitation, fair. Events, poor. Third-party organizational referral, poor. And then caseworker referral, good. And here I do get to, I've included a couple of just things of note that were in the report. When working with caseworkers, and I think we have also seen this in other, even just recently, we do know that there are properties with significantly poor conditions. So we do have a sense that part of the issue may have been our outreach. And then, that we have just from the work with the Multnomah County Weatherization team, we do know that, engaging private owners in the market, this was back in 2017 and 2018, was very difficult. I feel that it probably would still be difficult now. And then the tenant income requirements were particularly tricky for the property owners. So that is the conclusion of my presentation.
So,
Sorry, Sarah.
Antoinette, just a question. It took a while to get this report all consolidated and back to us. Was that just a timing issue? Because, and maybe it's just me and the pandemic and everything else, but I had sort of forgotten about this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to revisit it now, and I guess I wonder what can we, or you and your team, what can we learn from this to either propose this? I think that's part of what we're talking about is like proposing it again. So what could we learn if we wanted to try this again? What would your takeaways be to in advising the commission as they look at different strategies?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. Part of the difficulty that this program ran into was initially when we put it into the Housing Bureau's budget, there were some estimates of need that were provided that weren't well backed up. And we ended up kind of getting into the press about, not doing our due diligence around establishing need. I don't know if you remember all of that. I certainly do.
I do. Thank you.
Yeah, and that really, I felt like really kind of took some of the steam away from the program. We had a director change and a manager, the manager of this program. All of that happened around that same time, and I had never seen this report until actually Justin asked me to report back to you. So, but what I think is really important, it just if we were to try this again, which I think there is a need, would be to really do our due diligence around establishing need. And really, there we have different data sources, that we could pull on. We know that there is a fair amount of substandard housing in our multifamily housing stock. We just know that from the American Community Survey data, as well as from the data we get from HUD, the CHAZ data, as well as the violation data that we see in Amanda. I think we need to really spend some time with doing our due diligence just around like need and geography, just as a first step.
Great, thank you. And I wonder if you could include that recommendation when you do the presentation at the RSC meeting.
Yeah, we definitely could.
I think that would be a good piece of information for the commission to hear.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Laura, but we had at the time we had said we thought there were like 400 properties,
Right.
and then we just got skewered when we had no one, right?
Right. No, I do, it's funny. I do remember that now. It's funny. I just, so much has happened and set it aside. But this does seem like a good time to revisit this. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think it is one of those things where I feel like it should be used a bit more. It was out there, so maybe we could take another run at it and see if there's a way we can get a little more utilization out of it. Because I think it's definitely something that helps both sides of the coin as far as landlords and tenants are concerned.
And I think in program design, again, knowing that so Title 30 requires us to add, we can't just grant, we need to require some affordability along with a subsidy, which I know we all understand. And so fine-tuning what that looks like would probably be important as well.
So, Antoine, this is really helpful. Can you say again that piece you said about, like, if we were to do it again or when we do it again? Really, I was it looking more at need and geography? Were those the two I heard?
We do from our as from our American, we have a few different data sources, the American Housing Survey, as well as the CHAZ data, which is special tabulation data from HUD. We do know that we have a fair amount of substandard, not a huge amount, but there are we have exact numbers of substandard housing in within the city, and we know if it's rental or if it's owner occupied. And so I think as a first step, and this is the part that the Bureau rushed on before, we just need to do our due diligence and spend some time, and we have the data, just making a clear case around need and geography with that. We do have like we have it down to block level information too, so.
Yeah, and I'm sort of trying to think about some of the feedback we might hear from the broader group. And my recollection is that this topic sort of fit into that really broad topic around like what can we do to increase safety and stability for folks living in the city or the county. And I think there was a little bit of frustration with some of the approaches. I mean, like, let's take rent stabilization, that it didn't go as far as some tenant advocates wanted. And yet, we've heard a bunch of feedback that a number of the regulations are more onerous. And we sort of heard that piece from you as well, or from you via, or from property owners via you, that some of these reporting requirements were tricky, or some of the long term, like the timing was too much, et cetera. And so I'm sort of wondering if the pieces you identified will get us there, or if it's maybe some of those I don't know, some of those like regulatory pieces that are more of a barrier for owners. And then, so that is me sort of asking the question through, feedback we've heard from owners from the group. If I were to ask the question differently from feedback we've heard from tenants, it might sound a little bit more like, does the carrot approach work, or do we need to consider more of a stick approach here, right? So if we aren't willing to, as a system, to sacrifice some of those regulatory mechanisms that make this less user friendly for owners and that make it less likely to be used, as the data shows us, is there a different approach that says, gosh, we're not going to go and look at need and then ask for engagement? We are going to use this as some sort of like regulatory, or I'm sorry, maybe more like enforcement style model that is a stick, more of a stick than a carrot. So like, I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just sort of trying to tackle it from a few different areas of feedback we've heard from the community and frankly from members of our commission. And again, I ask that recognizing that both of these themes might come up during a broader discussion.
Oh, completely, completely agree with that. And I do think that will probably come up again. Like, if for instance, we were to talk with the BDS inspectors as well. I think there is that's part of the conversation too. I mean, we could do a wonderful job of establishing need, which we probably will do. But then if it, I think we still have the issues around the regulatory compliance.
Interesting. Yeah. So need could maybe be the foundation for then determining which approach might make most sense there. Well, anyway, I didn't say this up front.